Hi, this is Tom.
How's it going, Tom? You got Jason and Tara here.
Okay, well, I'm on, and I got in okay, and I've got the screen up that welcomes me and has me logged in as LIO chair, but it's blank right now. But it looks like it's up okay.
Yeah, and it looks like you and I are the only ones in on the board members and zero on public at this point.
Yeah, well, we're a bit early, so I mean, I can go on mute for a while and just wait for something to happen, I guess.
I think that's where I'm going to be.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here, and I'm just going to put the phone on mute, and we'll just see as what picks up here in about 10 minutes.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, Tara.
Oh, she stepped out of the room.
No problem. I just wanted to be polite.
Yep.
Hello?
Ben, this is Tom. I can hear you. You're on.
Okay.
Okay. I think there's so far a couple of us and one person from Petersburg waiting to talk to us.
Very good.
Okay. I'm just going to be on mute here, but I think you're in okay and shouldn't be any problem.
Okay. Yeah, here loud and clear.
Thanks. Okay.
Hi guys, this is Brian in the LIO. I am just calling, letting you know that we're going to be starting the stream in just 1 minute, so we'll be live online in just a minute. Just give me the heads up, okay?
Thanks.
Thank
you. Good. Thank you.
Hi, John. This is Tom. I see you joined in. Okay, thanks.
Well, Admiral, this is Jason. I'm seeing 3 o'clock here on this end. Brian Madison, are we good on the stream and other end of things?
Madison, Ray, you're good on our end.
Okay.
What's that?
I think I heard that we're good to go.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to start off then. I'd like to welcome any members of the public that are listening in or here to testify. We're the Alaska Marine Highway Reshaping Work Group. And we've been meeting under a charter from the governor to recommend ways to improve the performance, the reliability, the predictability of the system for the communities that it serves, and also take a look at the cost efficiency of it. But we welcome public comments. We've heard a lot of we've read a lot of reports, heard from a lot of experts, a lot of stakeholders, and people have been writing in, sending us comments. And if you're listening, you're still welcome to send in an email at any time if you want to provide comments that way to it. We welcome it. We do appreciate and pay attention to them. But today we just wanted to hear from you directly to give everybody a chance to testify. We give everyone waiting about 3 minutes to let us know what's on your mind and any perspective you want to share about the Marine Highway System or any ideas that you have for how we could improve the system for the long term going forward. We're not involved looking at the current schedule for this winter. There is a separate email address on the DOT website to provide that kind of comment. We're looking at the long term of the system. But as I said, I welcome the comments, and we do take them to heart. So I see we have our first member of the public waiting to testify is David Kenchinger from Petersburg. So if we can bring him on, we'll see what he's got to say.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, yeah, David. Welcome.
Sorry.
No, I just want to say thanks and welcome.
Yes, thank you. It's real simple. Whatever you decide to do must have a legislative solution. Regardless of the best ideas or intentions, if you do not have legislation to back up your direction, it will change. Maybe with a new commissioner or a new governor, but it will change. Because the current structure of the Marine Highway System is that it is a political system, not a transportation system. My cynicism comes from over 40 years as a commercial user and over 20 years trying to implement reforms. One effort in the early part of this century had success for a few years at stabilizing revenues and ridership. The Marine Transportation Board. Even though we managed to pass legislation to enact the board into law, a new governor would not sign. So it was negotiated to an advisory board and promptly ignored. Maybe our political leaders feel Alaskans are unable to successfully operate a system using a board. Until that happens, it will be impossible to institute the changes that will be necessary to reform the system. Make no mistake, replacing the fleet with new cost-efficient vessels will be the only way to achieve the goal of improved service while reducing the operating subsidy. If we maintain the current management structure, you will have the status quo that will cost more than it should and deliver less than it should. I suggest you consider the loss reform effort as a starting point. It does not matter if the vessels are new or old, fast or slow. With a management structure that looks no longer than the political cycle, you will have a political system, not a transportation system. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the comment and the perspective, wish you the best, and we'll work hard on it. At this point, I see the next speaker up is Carl Becker from Cordova, and if we can bring Carl up, we'll welcome him and invite him to provide his perspective and any comments or thoughts he wants to offer. Carl?
Yes, I want to be sure if you can hear me all right.
Can hear you loud and clear, Carl. Thank you.
Yes. I would just like to make one quick housekeeping comment. I know you aren't involved in this, but it may as well be said. I urge you to change the proposed Saturday departure Monday return schedule for our ferry this winter and have it return on a Tuesday return from Whittier. This would allow us to schedule doctors and other appointments more conveniently. In addition, more generally, I ask that we be treated with the same consideration and respect as the users of the paved and gravel portions of the Alaska highway system. They would not tolerate months-long closures of their highway access or the excess financial costs of these closures. My wife and I have spent hundreds of dollars on barge expenses and have lost the savings we would have realized had we been able to shop in Anchorage and return by ferry. Please make sure that we will not have any gaps in service like we had this past fall and winter. Finally, I would like to emphasize that those of us who depend on the Alaska Marine Highway are the only highway users in the state who actually contribute to the maintenance and operation of our portion of the Alaska highway system through the fares we pay. We are not using the ferries for frivolous discretionary travel any more than the residents in Wasilla who drive to Anchorage. If the DOT wants to equitably recover the cost of our highway system, then it should implement toll roads on the Parks, Glen, Richardson, and other roads. If that were done, we wouldn't have to feel like second-class users of the highway system for all Alaskans. And finally, I would like to emphasize that the Marine Highway System should never again go with a sole source contract for building ferries just to benefit a boat yard in Ketchikan, Alaska. We can't afford to go that route. Those are my comments, and I appreciate the chance to testify. Thank you.
No, Carl, thank you. We appreciate your willingness to come in and share your perspective, and we will take it into consideration. So thanks, Carl. Our next speaker up, I have Shannon Donahoe from Haynes. If we could bring her on, I'd like to say welcome and look forward to your comments.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Shannon Donahoe, and I live in Haynes. I have tuned into all of the working group meetings, and I appreciate the time and thought you've put into this issue. I have learned a lot in these meetings, but one thing has struck me in a profound way. Over and over again at every meeting, this group has voiced that Alaskans need to get used to the reality of reduced service. Chairman Barrett wrote in an op-ed last week that it is difficult for anyone to admit that one could do with less, but that is a reality we confront, and asked Alaskans to consider what level of service we would be willing to give up in exchange for more reliable, predictable service. This is a false choice, and the reshaping work group must get out of this scarcity mindset. Coastal Alaskan communities have already been crippled by reduced service, and in some cases, no service for extended periods of time. The Alaska Marine Highway is part of our national highway system, and it should not be treated as an optional luxury service. Frequent, regular ferry service fuels not just the regional coastal economy, but the overall state economy, as the 2016 McDowell report pointed out. Traditional highways are not expected to directly make money, so why is the Marine Highway held to that standard? Alaska needs to look at alternative revenue streams, such as taxes on oil production or a graduated income tax, to fund ferry service. The work group should make the recommendation that the state restructure its taxation system to consider other streams of revenue rather than expect coastal communities to live without the ferry service that drives not only our communities, but the statewide economy. As for changes in governance, transparency, accountability, and public participation must be prioritized, regardless of what model is chosen. I'm concerned that a state-run public corporation would lack the transparency, public process, and accountability of a state government agency. Corporations prioritize profits, but the Alaska Marine Highway is a public transportation service and must be treated as such. From my perspective as a coastal Alaskan of 18 years, ferry ridership has diminished because of reduced service, because of sparse schedule, mechanical issues from deferred maintenance, and in the case of Upper Inland Canal, small vessels whose runs are frequently canceled in the winter due to wind and high seas. Ferries were once the most reliable way to travel around Southeast, but now many of us opt for small planes because of so many ferry cancellations. Ferry ridership also dropped when it became prohibitively expensive to put a car on the ferry. These are the issues talked about frequently in my community. Respectfully, group to leave the scarcity mindset behind and make recommendations to restore the Alaska Marine Highway to the dependable transportation system it once was. Thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Shannon, thank you. We appreciate the comments, and we'll give them full consideration as we shape our recommendations. Our next speaker up that I show is Nancy Hillstrandy from Kachemak Bay. Nancy, welcome, yes. And forward to your comments.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just heard about this meeting. I'm sorry I'm not prepared for it, but I have traveled the Marine Highway on the Tuscumana between Homer, Port Lines, and Kodiak for 40 years, and I know all the folks down there, and I hope some of them have commented to you or have a future means of being able to comment to you. But it is, of course, being on the island out there on Kodiak and Port Lions, it's pretty important that we have a ferry system that runs between Homer and there so they can get to the mainland, get to Anchorage, go to their medical appointments, and, you know, haul all their all the things that they need to haul. I do see that there can be a little bit less. You know, I don't see any reason why the ferry can't tighten its belt. You know, it's going to have to, of course. But I do see also that when the facilities, the actual facilities that you go and sit in, they're not really used that much. And I don't think that's where the money should be going. And when they did start building, like the one in Homer, I wrote in and said, my God, put it into the ships, not into the, you know, these facilities. So I do also think that there's a means of making money on the ferry because people are wandering around and they could there could be a means of making money by upping the cost of food and, you know, different things like that. It doesn't have to be cheap because it's amazing what it takes to get, you know, to put food on there and to be able to get a meal, and it's wonderful. So anyways, we definitely need the ferry because everyone, you know, there's over 10,000 people living there in Kodiak. And it's, you know, everyone has designed their lives around the ferry system and have for the last 50, 60 years. So I need to learn more about this and see what the schedule is. I know that it's stopping. The Tuscumana is not going to be going to Port Lions starting in October. And that's really tough on some of the elders and the way that people get groceries. There's not even a grocery store there in Port Lions. So they use the ferry to go, and they also pay their way. I'm pretty sure the Port Lions leg does pay its way of the ferry. But anyways, I don't mind rates going up. I can see that if it's only paid a third, that the rates have to go up. But I thank you for working on anything you can to help us in the Kodiak, from the Kodiak to Homer leg and Port Lions leg. So thank you for listening to my comments. I appreciate it.
No, thank you, Nancy. We appreciate them, and we're happy to have them, and we will try and do the best we can with this. Our next speaker is Bowl, if I have her right, so if we can go welcome her.
Kimmy, yeah, hello.
Go ahead, Kimmy, and introduce yourself.
Hi.
And forward to your
Okay. Okay. Hi, my name is Kimmy Bull. I live down in the Mill Creek, Washington area, just north of Seattle. I was born and raised in Juneau. My memories of traveling on the Alaska Marine Highway System are very dear to my heart, and I traveled from Seattle to Juneau when I was a kid with my parents, and it was a fabulous trip, and we as kids just loved that ferry. So I'm very fond of the ferry system. In fourth grade, we took the ferry to Glacier Bay, and I don't remember the glacier, but I do remember we slept on the solarium, and I was woken up in the middle of the night to see the northern lights. We traveled in high school and for track and for band, so I feel very, very sentimental about how special those ferries are in Southeast Alaska. I believe that these vessels should be considered historic landmarks like the Space Needle or the Empire State Building. I feel like they're just not replaceable and they should be maintained and kept and preserved. I know that I don't know what challenges you have budget-wise, but I do remember when I worked for a transit agency down here, I remember one of the top accountants was kind of joking about he has money hidden in that budget because he didn't want to lose the money in the upcoming year. So I feel like budgets sometimes can have hidden money, and I feel like maybe there's an opportunity at trying to find money to fund the Alaska Marine Highway System. I do have some ideas that maybe are a little bit maybe crazy, but, you know, sometimes you have to think outside the box. I was thinking that maybe rates for out-of-state travelers who travel for pleasure and not necessity could pay a higher rate than the local people. I feel like that the cruise ships should be charged more money because I think people think of an Alaskan cruise as maybe a cheaper cruise, but really it's the future generations that pay for that because of the pollution that occurs from that. And when cruise ships are penalized for being caught dumping dirty water, that those penalties should fund the Alaska Marine Highway System. I think that there is tourist shops that are in the different cities, if they have out-of-state ownership, they should pay a higher tax. I feel like advertising in the lower 48 is not done enough because I live, like I said, down near Seattle, and when I tell people about the Alaska Marine Highway System, they've never heard of it. So everybody's heard of an Alaskan cruise, but no one knows about the awesome opportunity of going on the ferry. So I think advertising really could help make at least the trip from Seattle to Skagway more popular. I would say, you know, if there's a way to make these ferries historic landmarks, maybe we could protect them, and maybe we could get charitable contributions from companies like Starbucks or Microsoft or Amazon. And lastly, when I worked at the Department of Revenue up there, I was really surprised. I was only 18, but I was surprised that the PFD was put into place where money was being sent out to everybody. It just seemed crazy to me. And so I wondered if maybe some of the money for the PFD could be used for the Alaska Marine Highway System. I feel that these vessels have historic significance and they're one of a kind. And once you sell them, like the Taku, you can never get it back. And these vessels are just magnificent. They're beautiful, and I think they should be preserved. I feel that they're part of Alaska's identity and culture, and everything should be done to preserve them. I would like to offer anything I can do to help. I know I'm out of state. I know you probably have all the people that you need to work on trying to help the Alaska Marine Highway System. I have a business degree from the University of Washington. I'm a CPA, and I would offer my assistance if there was really anything I could do. And thank you so much for working on this, and thank you for your time.
Let me thank you for the comments. We appreciate them, and particularly when people have creative ideas, it's always helpful. Thank you, and we're going to move on to Patty Campbell from Haines.
Hi, my name is Patty Campbell, and I'm just calling because I didn't have the time to write a letter, but I would like to try to get a ferry schedule for the Upper Lynn Canal that is a minimum of 2 times a week. 3 times a week would be awesome, and only because for medical issues, for travel issues as winter gets here, it makes it really, really hard to try to fly when you can't get out. And we also have an issue now, and not to any of our causes, but you can't get across the border to go to see a doctor if you had to. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. We appreciate it, and we'll consider it. Thanks very much.
But now
you're welcome. I'm going to go to Chakey. Becky, I don't know if I have your pronunciation or your last name right, but from Cordova.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, clearly.
Wow, that I went through so fast. They said it would be 15 minutes. So, yeah, I am calling from Cordova because I love that woman about that. She put her to work. She's the kind of a mind that we need to get focused on and get moving with the ferry system here because, you know, in Cordova we're floundering around. We have a ferry once every 2 weeks, and my nephew, we've booked every ferry because I have a car rental. I have 53 cars. We have no body shop. We have no tire shop. We have no abilities to do recall work. It's a nightmare. And I was called a frequent floater in the old days. And this new ferry schedule, I'm so happy that you're here, but it's so wrong because Jason's going to get on the ferry at midnight, get into Whittier at 7:30, exhausted, run around on a Saturday where you can't do anything, to try to do as much as he can, and get back on the ferry on Sunday. So, you know, in essence, we really don't have a ferry. But I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. We're making it work as much as we can. We're living in limbo with this whole thing because there's been a lot of mismanagement, and I don't think a lot of creativity, and I don't think a lot of understanding about, how to run a business, because in essence, you know, I know it's a government subsidized, but it is a business, and you need people that are confident, and it doesn't need to be a political type of a system. It should be run like when I buy cars, I try to buy the same kind of cars so that I can exchange parts. I can say, oh, you got a RAV4, here's another one, different color, but still the same, so that you're not trying to maintain a fleet of very diverse vessels. They have changed the docks out here for the fast ferry. They've done, you know, they just really have spent money inappropriately. And so you can't do that and stay in business. So I'm not at all surprised that you're having these kind of problems. But they really need to be solved because places like Cordova, that ferry is infrastructure to us. And when you start to dismantle infrastructure in a town like this, we're already in a chokehold. We have one plane a day in and out. They've dropped the morning and evening. Raven ran into trouble. So, you know, it's a survival thing to have a ferry for so many reasons, and I really feel like it needs to be not only kept going but, like, improved on with these types of issues to be taken care of. Like, before there was an oil pipeline, there was a ferry. You know, my husband was born in Cordova. I've lived here almost 40 years. He remembers the Chilcat, like what a big deal it was. And there was no oil money floating around, but they knew that it was an essential service to outlying communities. So I am not going to complain about, you know, and try to find fault at this point, but we really do need to come up with something that's going to be that's going to help us stay here as a community and that will benefit our state and all the people in it. So thanks for the time.
Becky, thank you very much for the comments. I appreciate them, and we'll certainly give them serious consideration. And we understand the pressures on communities like yours, too, in Cordova.
Yeah.
Our next speaker is from Cordova, Kristen Carpenter. If you can see Kristen up. Brian?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I can, Kristen. This is Tom Barrett.
Hi. Nice to talk to you, Admiral Barrett. Thank you. Thanks for taking comments, and thanks to members of the committee. So I'm Kristen Carpenter. I'm working as the executive director for the Prince William Sound Economic Development District. We've done a little bit of coordinating lately with all three communities commenting on the ferry schedule for this winter. I think that's super important, as Becky just pointed out, to get a weekday in the schedule there somehow, so shift things by a little bit to get a weekday. But I think you're more interested in the longer-term comments. I do want to agree with the earlier caller about the false choices. I don't think this is a matter of saying we have to work with less. I would say that, to be honest, the ferry schedule, from what I've seen, I've lived in Cordova for over 25 years, and there was a very limited period in there where we had a consistent schedule. But other than that, the schedule has changed regularly, and businesses can't build up reservations and a tourism business with a ferry schedule that's always changing. So I don't think we really know what the ferry schedule is capable of generating at the fare box. That would be my one big comment. I think the Northern Economics Report talked about a public corporation. Well, the McDowell Report and the Northern Economics Report talked about a public corporation. I think option 3B with the regional ferry authorities would be great because the scheduling needs are different from region to region. And so I really would like to see that pursued. Obviously, it's going to take partnerships. I don't think that privatizing this system, we all these reports have said privatizing isn't going to work. So it's going to take cobbling together federal funds, state funds, fare box revenues, all of those things to make this work, just as happens with a lot of other entities in terms of cobbling together the funding from all the different sources. I also think that a public corporation would help with making long-term decisions that benefit the system. We need a public corporation so you can have coordinated long-term planning like Becky Chapik was talking about with the dock infrastructure and making sure that vessels can work with the docks in each of the different communities. And also coordinating to make cost-effective decisions. You know, I looked at the winter operating plan for this winter, and I think out of 9 vessels, 6 of them are planned to be in layup, but that's not free. Layups still cost money for renting storage in a shipyard and paying a skeleton crew. So is that the highest and best use of those vessels? I think a public corporation could do some coordinating and make some more cost-effective decisions. And I also think we need shore-based vessels to minimize the labor costs. You know, if you have vessels that are including living quarters round the clock for crew, that's obviously an added expense. And that was the whole vision with the Chiniga, was to base it on shore and have a labor crew that was living in a community on shore, not living on the boat. And so you're not paying per diem and also on top of people's salary. So that's what I mean by a public corporation that can make long-term cost-effective decisions. And I know you've heard this before, but it has to bear repeating because the message doesn't seem to be heard, that the ferry is road infrastructure. It's not possible to privatize it, and it's road infrastructure that's essential to support local businesses. The businesses in Valdez, Whittier, Cordova, and even in Chiniga and Tetitlic, you know, they don't get very much ferry service, but it's a huge impact to those communities there for their ability to bring in heavy equipment, to bring in fuel tanks, to bring in groceries. It's just very basic living supplies. It's not, as either Becky or an earlier caller said, it's not so that we can make luxury trips to go to Anchorage for the weekend and watch movies. It's basic living facilities and supplies. It makes it possible for our local businesses to ship retail supplies into the community. And it's also a false equivalency for people to be comparing the ferry. People should be comparing and classing the ferry system together with highway infrastructure, because highway infrastructure is not privatized; it's subsidized, and the Marine Highway is our highway, and we are going to always need some federal money to make that run and some state money, but I think we can make a much more long-term, cost-effective decisions to make it possible to provide service with those funds, and instead of having to say, you know, what's the absolute bare minimum we can live with, because that's not going to be possible. So thanks very much for taking testimony, and we look forward to being able to comment on any recommendations that the committee puts forward. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kristen. Appreciate the input.
Thanks.
And I don't see any other callers in on the line right now, so I think we're just going to hold here, and we promised them we'd be around for a while, so we'll see who pops in. I'm just going to go on mute here, Jason, if you can hear me, or Brian, and we'll see if other players call in. Thanks much. We'll keep the line open. Okay, I see Stephanie Brenner from HUNA is on. If we can bring her up and hear what she's got to say, that would be good.
Hi there.
Welcome. Hi there. We're glad to have you and look forward to your comments.
Thank you.
Great.
Please go ahead.
Oh, I just think that it's very important that the Ferry Service has a regular schedule for communities like HUNA and the other small ones, the other smaller ones as well. It's especially important where we live because we do not get regular barge service here in the wintertime, and I just think that it is a vital transport. The Alaska Marine Highway System is. Transportation is vital to these smaller communities, especially in the wintertime when the weather can be fairly marginal and flights cannot make it in. So I'd also think that it's very important that the ferry system maybe get out of that it's not each governor, that it is run like the Alaska Railroad Corporation is, and it has an independent board that oversees it, so there's some continuity in its goals and its leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate the comments, and we'll give them full consideration. And I'm glad you called in. Our next speaker up is David Berg from Petersburg. He's with Viking Travel.
Good afternoon. Hey, just a couple comments. We've been listening in over the last couple of weeks during your deliberations and been making some notes about some of the things that we have experienced. Viking Travel, based in Petersburg, sells a lot of ferry tickets and advises people to travel on the ferry and see Alaska using the ferry. We suggest that ticketing should be consolidated with the reservation center and online services. If other companies are contracted, like Allen Marine, tickets should be available for purchase on the same system or the call center as regular AMHS ferry tickets. Online ticketing should be seamless and not dependent upon the actual operator of the vessel. We believe that onboard experiences could increase revenues to AMHS, and they could be improved upon, like offering Wi-Fi aboard for purchase Wi-Fi is already available, as I understand, to the crew, and making it available for purchase for others by a satellite certainly is possible. It could offer things like massages available on board during a cruise. Bars could be available for socialization. And programming could be offered during the cruise throughout the forest or park. We used to have rangers from the Tonkin National Forest come aboard and give presentations to people that were traveling on the ferry. Maybe using retired Alaskans as resources for this programming might be good. We have people, retired teachers or photographers that could put on some awesome programs. Librarians, fish and game, would probably volunteer for something like this just for the cost of their room and board. Sales agents, travel agents from around the country should be seen as a resource in selling travel on the AMHS and not a liability with or without having to pay a commission to them. Qualified agents could travel on the AMHS for reduced rates or free to be able to experience the ships and offers and the services that are offered on board. The onboard experience would enable them to become an advocate for selling travel on the ferry system instead of routing guests to cruise lines. And taking a look at the dynamic pricing, we think it's kind of out of control, especially with the COVID pricing structure and the limitations of the number of people that come aboard the ships. The new pricing structure of increasing fares when the ships are fuller is probably a good concept, but blocking seats in the case of COVID and with not adjusting the program to reflect the lesser percentage of load artificially raises the rates. You take a ship that can carry, say, 400 people and reduce the load by blocking seats to 100, and suddenly the program thinks the ship is three-quarters full, and up go the dynamic rates. We've had questions about more specific specs available for each boat. Customers asked for photos and dimensions of the cabins and room sizes and bathrooms, not very well documented on the Marine Highway site. By getting agents aboard that had experience on board, they would know more to be able to tell potential customers. Also, we'd like to see some transparency when there are mechanical or other delays. Ships can be delayed for mechanical reasons, but there's often no timely public notice as to what's going on so the public can be aware and plan accordingly. With a recent mechanical delay of the Kennecott in Juneau the other day, the public was emailed more than 9 hours after the scheduled departure. And there's been no updates, to my knowledge, that has told of when a potential the Kennecott might get underway. We've heard that the Kennecott would probably skip Yakutat to try to make up some time. Who knows? It's important that we have reliable service for visitors that want to travel to Alaska. We find that they want to plan the trips well in advance. And when we don't have a schedule for the summer, like this year, the schedule came out for purchase on March 1st. A lot of clients that we see that want to come to Alaska make their decision to travel on the ferry well before that. And when a schedule is not available, they give up. They plan their trip based on other forms of transportation, like airlines or cruise ships. So having a schedule published at least 2 years in advance, or certainly further in advance than what's happening now, would allow more visitors to be able to use the ferry and contribute to the fare box, whether they travel with RVs or not. Planning with stakeholders and communities like they've done in the past is great, and seeing you reaching out to people for comments is to be applauded.
Thank you. We do appreciate the comments.
And we look forward to them, and we'll continue to do that. Our next caller in is Sean Anderson. Yeah. Sean, are you there?
Hello. Yes, hello.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. I'm just calling to offer, I really want to see the Alaska Marine Highway System continue. in the manner that's most beneficial to the residents of Southeast Alaska. Being a former resident of Juneau, born and raised, it is a vital system to the state, to the users, to the folks who live in the state and would like to see it continue. I do think there are opportunities to make the system more generally known to folks outside of the state as a potential to increase revenue as well.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add?
I was very much looking forward to a trip on the system this year. Of course, events kind of changed all of that, but would look forward to it in the future. So,
well, I hope you're able to come see us. Thank you, Sean.
You bet. Thank you so much.
Okay, I don't see any new callers on the line, so we'll just pause and wait for them to call in. Thank you.
Admiral.
Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, I wondered if our whole, did our, most of our committee make it? I was a few minutes late.
Yes, we do. We have most folks on, maybe.
Oh, great. Some interesting comments, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always helpful to get direct feedback when you can. Let's see, I kind of misjudge how much interest there might be, and I feel like we promised them we'd go 3 to 6, so we'll keep the line open till 6, but anybody's got anything compelling, here with anybody who wants to. But, I think there's always some good thoughts. And
yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay. I'll be just standing by.
Me too.
Go on. Okay.
See you. Talk to you.
I see we've got another caller in, Laurel Meshi from Ketchikan, if we can bring her up.
Yes.
Hi, Laurel. Welcome, and we look forward to hearing your comments. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. I'm in Ketchikan, and one of our major concerns, of course, is the Prince Rupert, the loss of the Prince Rupert run. One of my questions is, has any thought been given to reestablishing Hyder as a Alaska port? It used to have one. And then maybe taking the Taslina or the Hubbard down there once or twice a week. That would solve the problem of immigration because it's still Alaska soil.
If that's the question, Laura, I don't know that we've looked at that. We're looking at kind of the long-term future more than the current operation. And we do know the border is closed right now. And I know State DOT has been working that issue or was working that issue before the closures. But we don't have I don't certainly have a sense on that or it isn't something we've focused on. I just want to be, open about that.
So, yeah, I realize the border is closed, but is there any focus at all of bringing Prince Rupert back then or some kind of contact for Southeast to get to the mainland and drive?
Yeah, I know State DOT was working on that before the COVID situation kind of upset that.
Okay.
It's been upset.
Your focus, you haven't really, I guess then I don't understand if we're supposed to bring ideas to you. This was just an idea I had that for future.
Yeah, no, we welcome the idea. You know, I certainly heard your point about Hyder and a couple of ferry options there. I thought you were going more toward, right now.
To reestablish some kind of travel that's a little more reasonable in cost than taking a vehicle to Bellingham.
Okay.
And also, for instance, we have some friends that cannot travel because they can't fly their dogs, so they're stuck out of state right now because they have no way of getting their they can't leave their dogs in on the ferry that long, down in baggage, and they can't fly them, so they haven't been able to return to Alaska. So it's a vital link to have a shorter ferry trip.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
No, thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Next, commentator I see is Phil Flabbertans from Seldovia. Phil,
yeah,
welcome.
Phil Flabbertans from Seldovia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just would like to voice my support for maintaining the Tustamina as it's been doing Homer, Seldovia, Kodiak out to Dutch Harbor for over 50 years now. And I don't know if that's part of what you were, how do I put it? Is that valid for this conversation?
Sure. It's a long-term issue. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it is a long-term issue. So anyway, I just wanted to voice my support.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, and we'll take your comments into consideration.
So, okay, thanks. And just in closing, a lot of these communities, it's an institution, the whole ferry service is. And a lot of communities and careers have been planned according to the availability of the whole AMHS. So that's all I have to say, and thank you.
Okay, thank you, Phil. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're on another call-in pause, so we'll just I'll just go on mute and we'll wait to see if some more folks dial in. Thanks.
Real good, Admiral.
Thanks, sir. see we have another caller, Representative Andy Story from Juneau. And open her line up there. Representative Story, welcome. We look forward to hearing your comments. Thank you for calling in.
And thank you for the opportunity to comment. As I said, my name is Representative Andy Story, and I represent District 34 in Juneau in the Mendenhall Valley. And I felt compelled to testify today as I have had so many constituents that have reached out to me about the problems that they have had with lack of ferry service and reliable ferry service and how they really want a long-term solution. As you're hearing, reliable, predictable, and affordable ferry service is just critical to the economic health of Alaskans, and so your work is so important. My recommendations and suggestions to the group for your plan is to include reliable service to communities to meet the medical, business, and recreational needs. I'm pleased to see that you've been reaching out to various community representatives to find out what service and what minimal service that they need. And I would really urge this group to find ways to go out to the users of the system. There's a way to go to them to get some more input, particularly on insight to minimums of service needed. I have and will continue to work for stable funding for the ferry system. As you know, the state of Alaska is facing significant financial challenges. However, providing stable funding for the ferry system can help AMHS provide a consistent and reliable level of service, which in turn can provide a stable customer base and revenue stream. The ferry's long-term planning and direction, I believe, should be insulated from changes in administrations. I hope alternative management structures are evaluated and a recommendation can be made on that. Of course, proper schedule maintenance for vessels is really important. We've seen our ferries breaking down, and I believe with proper maintenance and proper planning, breakdowns will be fewer, and there will be backup boats available to cover routes. And, of course, long-term vessel planning for our future is critical. I wanted to say that one thing I was been struck with is how AMHS benefits the entire state, not just our coastal communities. It's really important not to divide rural and urban. The marine highway is essential to, I believe, a vibrant economy and a strong infrastructure. Two-thirds of the AMS passengers are Alaska residents. You've probably seen the breakdowns. And I know among Alaska residents, Juneau booked the highest number of trips, but Anchorage booked the highest number of trips. And I know, I think the Palmer and Wasilla area is 4 and Fairbanks is 7. So it really is an important economic engine and a way to get around for all of Alaska. And you know how critical your work is. I am so glad you're having testimony next week, too, and I just want to thank you very much for your service to the state and your efforts to preserve and improve our marine highway system. Thank you very much for your work.
No, thank you for calling in, and we appreciate the comments, and we'll fold them into, you know, our deliberations. And I know this is some of these changes will require your work as a legislature too. So I think you'll be in the middle of this for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and again, thank you very much. This, your plan and recommendations are going to be critical to just meeting the needs of the residents across the state. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Okay, let's move to the next caller. The one I show up is Norm Carson from Pelican. Norm, are you with us? And welcome, and we look forward to your
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. I'm representing myself, but I'm also, should add that I'm a member of MTAB and also a president of our Chamber of Commerce here in Pelican, Alaska. And I've got a long history with Pelican. I came here as a college kid in 1966 and then had a career with the Alaska State Troopers and retired and moved back here and became involved in public service. I've read some, I know there's some comments made about breaking even at the fare box. I'm a little concerned about that. I just hope we realize that in these small communities, whether it's Pelican or any of these other smaller towns, you know, with our current fleet, we're never going to break even at the fare box. The only way we can reduce the subsidy would be to reduce service to a minimum where we can still get by. And we've done that in Pelican. We suggested we cut back by, I think, over a third of the sailings in the future. And that will at least keep us, have us the opportunity for economic growth, which we're doing. The pandemic has not helped. It just is in every part of the state. This pandemic has created just a firestorm of problems for us. But we're still functioning as a commercial fisheries center, and our sport fishing charter lodges are also functioning. We've not had any COVID, thankfully. So I would add as a recommendation, sometime we have to survive this for the current fleet, reducing sailings, that in the future I think we're going to need at least two smaller boats more fitted to smaller communities that don't have such a large crew and have such large overhead. And with that, it would really behoove the state and help out the budget. So actually, that's all I've got right now. Thank you.
Norm, thank you. We appreciate the comments and we'll certainly consider them. Let's move to our next caller, Frank Ryder, is it, from Kodiak? Frank, welcome. We look forward to your comments.
Thank you very much. I'm the priest here in Kodiak, and I'm moving to Ketchikan. I came from Valdez, so I'm kind of following Coast Guard around. The Alaska Ferry is huge for the coastal communities, not just the major ones that have Coast Guard bases, but little ones like Yuzinki, and, you know, a lot of the other small Old Harbor, people depend on it. They can't get vehicles places. They can't move from place to place. You know, many of them depend on supplies to come in for their community. There's no way it'll ever be able to be affordable if it's, you know, breaking even at the fare box. But we don't do that with roads. We don't, you know, I mean, there's some toll roads in the lower 48, and that's understandable, but we don't have toll roads in Alaska. It's all subsidized by the state and federal government. I think the Alaska Marine Highway should be the same. But thank you for your time and your consideration. Have a great day.
Frank, thank you. We appreciate the comments, and certainly we'll give them serious consideration.
Thank
you. I don't see a caller up right now, so we'll pause and wait for the next person to call in.
I see we've got another caller in, Travis Swangle from Dutch Harbor. Travis, welcome.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. Thank you. Can everyone hear me okay?
Hear you fine. Thanks, Travis.
Okay. Sorry, was now a good time to speak?
Absolutely. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Travis Swangle here. I'm a Dutch Harbor on Alaska resident. Been here 24 years now. I was calling to support the Marine Highway System. I've used it several times over the years, transport myself, my family, my pet. I'd like to touch on the subject of the Tustamina replacement vessel. It's my understanding that this vessel is mostly funded by the federal government, and any funding the state had to pony up, I think, would be quite small considering the size of the project. I'm a big supporter of the replacement vessel. It's to my understanding that the design is going to be able to handle, I think, somewhere in the ballpark of twice the capacity of the current Tustamina. And I think that could offer opportunities for more ridership as well as vehicle or cargo transportation between the and as well as the communities in the Aleutians. So I think that's an important opportunity to finally retire the Atusti. She's been a great vessel over the years, but I feel it's really important to move forward with this replacement vessel under best buy, not the best deal. I can offer up a quick story here just a few years ago where the Tustamina was an alternative for us to get home here to Unalaska. In the summertime, the Aleutians are notorious for foggy weather, and with our VFR runway, flights were backed up for nearly 2 weeks. And when we showed up there at the airport, they basically kind of laughed us out of line when they saw our three large dog crates and all her luggage and everything. And we were able to see that the ferry was sitting in Kodiak and was going to sail that evening. So we quick jumped on a flight to Kodiak and was able to make the sailing and get home a few days later and actually beat people that were stuck in Anchorage still standing by, you know, by the hundreds trying to get on an airplane. So anyways, I could go on more, but I appreciate your time, and I hope we're able to continue funding the Marine Highway System as well as get this vessel to service the Aleutians online. And just one more thing to add before I end this, you know, it's not just about our community here. It's obviously if they're making the run out here, I feel like I'm speaking on behalf of the community as well that are between here and mainland. So, again, thank you.
Thank you, Travis. We appreciate the comments, and we'll give them serious consideration. So appreciate your calling in. We can move now to the next caller, William Arnold from Juneau.
Hi, my name is William Arnold, and I live here in Juneau, and I have brought two cars here before on the State Ferry, a decade or more apart, and ridden the ferry a few times. I've worked on several of the ferries as a contractor, and I firmly believe that the state ferries are absolutely essential to Southeast Alaska, and just as the last caller was saying, guess what? They matter in the Aleutians, too. But in Southeast, it's just dreadfully important. The small communities around here are inaccessible from roads, of course, and underserved by commercial vehicles and overpriced in that regard. The state ferry works. It provides access for those people to medical services in Juneau or Sitka. It provides access to Costco for shopping. It provides access to Canada, to Seattle, to everywhere, and it keeps all of the small towns and communities in southeast Alaska alive. And there's no way that a road could do any of that, and there's no way that even the proposals for a road from Juneau to Haines or Skagway or something is inordinately expensive, and it would only serve one or two communities. The small towns all over southeast absolutely need the state ferries. So I think it's essential that the state provide that very, very necessary service.
Okay. William, thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate the comments. And we'll factor them into our considerations as we shape our recommendations going forward. So thank you very much. Okay, so I see no callers in the queue, so we'll See, we have another caller in, Edwin Phillips from HUNA. If you can bring him up, we'll take his comments. Edwin, welcome. We're glad to have you call in and look forward to your comments.
Okay, hi. Thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. Can you hear me all right?
Can hear you fine. Thank you, Edwin.
Okay, thanks. I've owned the Icy Strait Lodge for 20 years over in HUNA, and we relied heavily on the ferry service up till the fast ferry concept came into being. It came in at the same time as the day boat concept. We used to be happy to get up at 2 in the morning to catch a ferry or to disembark at, 4 in the morning. We thought nothing of it because the ferry wants to call itself a highway. Well, to be a highway, it implies that it's there and it's got static routes. It just run like clockwork. What's happened over the years, and I've been watching it painfully, is that it's become a badly scheduled ferry, and it's just cost us dearly. It's cost our community many people because it's so expensive to live here. And anyway, the day boat concept is kind of been destructive to what was working flawlessly for many years. And I just want to kind of point that out. One of the things that I believe the administration focuses on is the expenses without realizing if you focus on the revenue, providing the services that the customers need, then the expenses follow. Instead, they focus on cut costs, and they've cut the service to the point where we have to find alternatives. And so their revenue's down. The state had to subsidize them heavily. And it's all because they're not thinking like a business. And anyway, those two thoughts are real heavy on my mind, that you got to treat it like a business and concentrate on providing service, because that's what's going to grow our state and keep the state from having to subsidize it. And, it just, Daybo concept is a bad fit for our communities, and it doesn't work well. Anyway, I'm hoping you guys can make a difference. And I know we're all counting on it. That ferry is helping the state to, maintain its outreach. It's so vast. It needs that highway, and that highway should not be – it should be Alaska Marine Highway again, and I hope you can bring it back to that status and not just a badly run ferry. We're currently spending – 55 cents a pound to bring things in constantly. If we want to get something from Juneau, we have to ship it to Petersburg, and then it gets on the main line coming up to HUNA. And so it's a two-week process. Another thought that I'd like to convey is I used to go to or listen to all the teleconferences, and we kind of came up on a solution where Gustavus and HUNA could alternate. Every other week, we'd have the straight shot both to and from, and it worked real well because if you needed it, it'd come on a weekly basis. But if you wanted to go over and be able to come back, you could take it, you could time your visit for one of the twice monthly direct shots. Well, currently they're only coming to HUNA twice a month, and that is really hard on the community. And the last thought I'd like to talk about is they keep talking about COVID-19 as being so horrific that they have to minimize the number of passengers on the vessel, yet those passengers congregate on the ship. So it's like it's not making sense to me. I hope you can straighten all this stuff out. I'm sorry I hit you with, so many concerns, but day boat concept flawed for a highway system. The last thing I wanted to mention is I was told there's a regulation that prohibits you from using the federal transportation money for operations. That's ridiculous, because they need to build the bridges then, which they can't possibly justify or afford. That law, whatever it was intended to, you know, prevent, operations should be able to use federal DOT funds, because those are our bridges to our communities. Anyway, that's about what I wanted to say.
Edwin, thanks very much for the comments. We appreciate them. We'll certainly consider them. And our goal is the same as yours, I think, is to try as best we can provide a path to make things better. So thank you for calling in, and wish you the best over there in Hoonah. Okay, we're on another pause. I don't see another caller in the queue right now, but we'll go back and pause and see who dials in.
Hey, Admiral, I had a real hard time hearing that one. Am I the only one?
I heard him fine. If you're having trouble, let me know. But he was.
Maybe I should call back in. That was real broken for me. I'll hang up and call back in.
Okay. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Jason, are you online?
I am. Just had to get to the mute button.
Okay. So procedurally, we're just waiting for a response for somebody to dial in?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll keep things open until 6.
Okay. Thanks.
May I see another caller in?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can, Chris. Thank you. Welcome. We look forward to your comments.
Hi. Yes, my name is Christina Dick. I'm calling from Hoona. I'm actually calling because the biggest concern I have right now is that we have a reduced food supply. Our ferry system is supposed to be a form of transportation or a highway for our local communities, and it's not being run that way. We're having issues with getting in freight. We're having issues with getting people out for medical appointments. The state is losing out on incredible amounts of funding for that ferry service through our Medicaid dollars. Our Medicaid dollars are going to the smaller airlines because of the fact that they can't rely on the ferry service to get people to and from for their medical appointments in a timely fashion. So that's a huge resource right there that we're losing out on. So we have a lot of patients that don't like to fly or have a fear of flying or medical conditions that prevent them from flying. So in order to be able to get to those medical appointments, they can't get there. And they end up putting their medical off due to those things. In order to just to be able to go ahead and get a car fixed, we have to try and schedule around the ferry, and there's a lot of times where it's not feasible for somebody from the village to try and take their car over to Juneau to have it properly serviced and get tags and registration and everything else when we can't depend on if they were going to be able to go over and come back in, say, a day or two. Sometimes we end up stuck over there for 3 or 4 days. And with the COVID restrictions, it's making it even harder for people to be able to utilize that service.
Was there more you wanted to add, or was that the comment?
Well, that's the most of it. But, you know, also considering the cost of shipping things, too. I mean, trying to be able to go ahead and ship things from Juneau to here just to get the bare essentials, they've increased it by 10 cents, almost 10 cents a pound just recently. And we're already at, I believe it's like 63 or 65 cents a pound. So every pound of freight we have to ship out of Juneau, it's going up by 10 cents, and we're one of the relatively cheaper villages to be able to get stuff flown into. I mean, it's even harder for people like Angoon and some of the other smaller communities that are further away. So you're increasing that amount of cost that is coming to our people. And there's only going to be so much people are going to be able to afford, and then eventually people are going to start going without.
So thank you for providing that perspective.
Yeah.
Serious consideration.
Yeah, I just remember working for the clinic. You know, there were so many times where, you know, the clinics do not even, half the time did not even consider the ferry system to be a viable option to be able to get people to their medical appointments simply because of the fact that they can't depend on it. They don't know if it's going to be there. They aren't sure as to whether the person's going to be able to get on or off or whether or not they're going to get stuck over there either due to a breakdown or just shutting down in general. So the clinics aren't even considering the ferry system as a viable option for transport for these Medicaid dollars. So it's a huge funding source that's being funneled over to the airlines. And so we're losing, you know, there is a huge funding that could have been pulled in for the ferry system, but it's not. And it's just simply okay. Because it's unreliable.
Okay. So thank you for the perspective. We will consider it, and we're going to do our best to at least in the long term, provide some better. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay,
and I don't see a line next, so we'll pause again. Thank you.
Admiral, this is Tony Johansson. You're breaking up quite a bit. for me anyway. I can hear the callers fine, but you're coming in and out.
Okay, and maybe it's because I'm moving away from the phone. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, probably my bad and just shifting around here. But I'll try and keep my voice aimed at the phone in front of me. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
Okay, I see we have another caller in, Bruce Champ from Pelican. Bruce, can you hear me?
I can, perfect.
Okay, thank you. Well, welcome, and we look forward to your comments.
Hi, thank you for opening it up for people, and I know they're each individuals, each have their own situation. Well, I just calling to say I'm really thankful for the ferry system, extremely grateful. The background behind that is, as a young man, I worked up here. I'm currently 73. When I was in my late teens, I worked out here in Alaska, fell in love with the area, always dreamed about coming back. And so there was a land auction out here in the 80s, and so in the Pelican area. And so I decided to invest here. Of course, without the ferry system, it just wasn't feasible. So the ferry system made it possible for me to come and invest in property, later build a cabin, and that's what I have done for since. So let's see, I started in the 80s, I bought it in the 90s. The ferry system, without that, it just, there's no way. And so I'm very, very thankful. And now through the years, of course, being able to come out here without the ferry would be make it extremely difficult. So I'm just grateful. I hope it will continue to be used. And I just want to express, not a citizen of the state or a resident of Pelican. I'm from the state of Washington, but I come up and I've invested quite a few dollars here. And I know there's other people that, there's many others that probably do the same. And without the ferry system, that's just not going to happen. So it depends on what the goals of the state are, of course. If they want to cut off investing and having people come, then, yeah, just eliminate that ferry system, and it's going to really curtail businesses as well as the opportunity to grow and develop Alaska. And I don't know what the motives are, but I'm thankful that I was able to do that, and I'm just grateful for the ferry system, and I hope it'll continue to service this area.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. Well, we appreciate the feedback, and I'm glad things are working out for you there, and we'll factor your comments into our considerations as we try and shape recommendations that can help the system along. So thank you very much. We're now going to go to Jennifer Shockley from Unalaska. Jennifer, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, well, welcome, and we look forward to hearing your comments.
Good afternoon, everyone. As previously mentioned, my name is Jennifer Shockley. I'm a 30-year resident of Unalaska. And the Alaska Marine Highway System, we don't get the same kind of traffic from it in Unalaska as places in the southeast do, but it's just as important for our local communities to have that ferry service going in and out of our community. And I wanted to voice my support for the continuation of the Marine Highway System, including routes along southwest Alaska and the Aleutian Chain.
Okay, that's good and appreciated. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Not at this time. I didn't have a prepared speech. I just wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to say that there are many of us here in Unalaska who value what the ferry system brings to us.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the feedback.
Thank you.
Thanks. Goodbye, Jennifer. I see the next caller in the queue is Peggy McLaughlin, also from Unalaska. Peggy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay, well, welcome, and we look forward to your comments.
Thank you. My name is Peggy McLaughlin. I am the port director for the City of Unalaska, Port of Dutch Harbor. I am calling in support of keeping the Alaska Marine Highway System service available to the Aleutians, particularly Dutch Harbor. We are the furthest west area serviced by the Alaska Marine Highway, and it's an economic driver for us. It's a critical means of transportation, particularly right now with air service being limited to non-existent, and I'm calling to understand that this has been a rough year economically with COVID, and the Alaska Marine Highway has struggled for a while to figure out, you know, making ends meet, but I am absolutely in support and would urge Representatives in Juneau to continue to push forward with a budget for the Alaska Marine Highway System.
Okay, well, thank you, Peggy. We appreciate the comments, and we'll factor it in as we work our recommendations forward to make the system better if we can for the future. Thank you. Okay, I don't see another caller in the queue at the moment, so we'll pause until we see another person dialing in. Thank you. I see we have another caller in from Unalaska, Sherry Coleman. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Sherry, hello. Can you hear us? Hello, Sherry.
Yes, I can. Hi.
Okay, welcome, and we look forward to your comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you. I want to express my for the ferry system. I also serve on the city council for Unalaska, and I hear time and time again how valuable it is for my residents of that system available to us, especially with our very tenuous and oftentimes weary airfare service. The fact that the ferry comes out on a regular schedule is so valuable to our residents. To be able to goods and freight and vehicles without an apply, you know, we're not obviously not on the road system. And so it's one of the ways that people can get out of here. So, like I said, I hope continued financial from the state to the residents. It's vital to commerce in Unalaska to have this as an option for people to move products, their personal belongings, and like I said, for commerce. And we only get them in the summertime. A lot of people depend on that as a means of transportation. So, again, I express my wholehearted support for the ferry system.
Thank you, Sherry. We appreciate the feedback, and we'll factor it in as we shape our recommendations about the ways we hope can improve the system going forward in the long term. So thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
I don't see anyone currently in the queue, so we'll pause again. Thank you.
time is it?
Hi, everybody. This is Jason on with DOT, whoever's still online. Looks like we got a couple minutes left. I figure I'd just take this opportunity since I don't see anyone from the public online. But first wanted to thank everybody from the public that weighed in today. We are going to have another opportunity next week, I believe, from 4 to 6 with the same call-in information. And definitely want to thank our staff at the LIO office, Brian Madison and team. They did a wonderful job in moderating and keeping our technology moving well today. Admiral, you got anything you want to say today?
No, I would echo your comments, Jason. The process went really smoothly, and we didn't have any hitches, and I want to thank the board members and others that the perseverance and the patience to deal through this. I thought many of the comments were interesting and certainly heartfelt and provide an opening into the impact we can have in a positive way if we can find ways to make things better, and also the caution to not remember that we're dealing with some significant aspects of people. No, I thought it went very well. We've got a regular board meeting with an agenda from 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon with some guests in, including some Mariners and Pats in. Look forward to we're starting to get off our
Admiral, you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, so we've got a meeting, a regular meeting tomorrow, 2 to 4. We've got also Matt. So I look forward to that. But I just
Merle, I don't hear you.
Okay, well, I just want to thank everybody for calling in and for the patience and perseverance, and look forward to reconnecting tomorrow. And I think we're at 6, Jason, so call it good for the day.
All right, thanks, Admiral. Good job.
Okay, thank you all. Bye-bye.